This message is entitled, More Than a Baby in Bethlehem. More Than a Baby in Bethlehem. To God be the glory, our Savior Jesus Christ was more than a baby in Bethlehem. Millions observe the annual celebration of Christmas, commemorating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is of the utmost importance that we see and proclaim. If you see it and you know it, you need to proclaim it. Because that's how folk get saved. Now, you can see it and know it and not proclaim it, then we won't be the missionaries that God have called us to be. As you are going, wherever you go, wherever your sphere of influence, you share the gospel. We can't make nobody get saved, but we can take the excuse away from them when they say we never heard it. It's of the utmost importance that we see and proclaim that Jesus was more than the baby in the manger. The book of John, chapter 1, teaches us the following truths regarding the birth or incarnation of Christ. I want to look at three points that I have: the foretelling, the fulfillment, and the focus. The foretelling, the fulfillment, and the focus. I want to start first. I want to go back to Genesis chapter 3, where, you know, in Genesis, where it all took place. We know what happened in Genesis. Adam and Eve sinned. The subtlety of Satan tricked her. And Adam, wanting to please his wife, sinned. Caused all of the chaos from generation to generation. All Adam could breed was sinners. But thank God for the love of God. Thank God for all knowing. He knew everything. And thank God for his almighty power. Omniscient. All-knowing. All-powerful God decided, I know that man gonna mess up. Don't want him, but he's gonna mess up. But I got a plan. Isn't it good to know when you mess up that somebody got a plan to fix you up? See, sometimes you mess up and you are so messed up, you can't even help yourself. See, that's why God let us know. He says, you who are strong and spiritual, you help those who are weak. It let me know that Almighty God has insight into our weaknesses and into our strengths. God realized that we're not always strong at the same time, and we're not always weak at the same time. So God has said that if you are a brother or sister and you are so strong in the Lord, meaning that you are walking in Christ, well, then you help those who are weak. See, you're not really, see, if you classify yourself as being strong in the Lord, and we're putting down those who seem to be weak in the Lord, we need to shut up because we're not doing our job. We shouldn't even let people know that we are strong if we're not willing to help. Keep that to yourself. Because you condemn yourself. Because if I'm not willing to help and I'm strong, I'm saying, God, I am that person that you spoke about in your word that should be helping those who've overtaken that are weak. Help somebody. Our God, say, I'm going to help mankind. Satan, you hurt him. You hurt mankind in Genesis in the beginning. But I got a plan to help. Isn't that good to know? And we're going to look at 3:15. In 3:15, it reads, after God had dealt with the snake, the serpent, now he's dealing with Satan, the great serpent. In Genesis 3:15, it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, God is talking to Satan. He says, Satan, you're going to trouble my chief creation, mankind, all through many generations until I put you into the pit. See, whenever Satan mess with you too much, go to Revelation, the back of the book, and see his plight. Go tell him about his plight. Say, you working on me, but I know something about you too. Huh? I know something. I know how this thing ends for you. See, you're whispering all those demonic, evil things, sweet nothing you want to say to you in my ear to disobey God and put myself in a harmful way, but I know something about you. God dealt with you in the beginning because he knew what you did. The seed of a woman, this is the place that I often tell people when people begin to talk about how old other religions are. This is the verse I go back to when we're talking about Christians or Christianity. They were first called Christian at Antioch. But I go back here because when you go back here, you don't have but one man and one woman. And they were the first. You can't go back any further for to see humanity than right here in Genesis. Are you with me? So when they say how old your religion is, you tell them, say, no, you're over in the New Testament. Oh, no. Let's go back to 3:15. See, because in 3:15, I see my Savior. I see the Jesus y'all were praising and talking about. I see him. But here he's called the seed of the woman. See, you got to know what God was doing for us. He says, Satan, you messed up my chief creation, which is mankind. I told them to have dominion over everything I have made. And but you put them in a position that they would not rule the paradise, but they will cause chaos in the garden. Even to a point, I got to put them out. But I got something that's coming. The hour is coming that your head going to be bruised, though you're going to bruise his heel. He's called here the seed of a woman. But when you go over in Luke 1, when Gabriel was talking to Mary, this teenage girl, and she's asking the questions about how is this thing going to be so? It's going to be done of the Holy Ghost. It's going to be all about God's doing. Just let God use you. You see, sometimes we can be so interested in knowing the how, the where, and the when, God, that we won't be comfortable knowing that God is able. No matter whether we know the time, the place, or the circumstance, how he gonna do something. See, a lot of times we get ourselves in trouble with our minds and our frustrations because we want to know, God, how are you gonna do it? You see, a lot of times we'll pray for people for healing and things of that sort, especially when we see someone on their deathbed, and you'll go in and you'll pray and you ask God to heal them, and yet God may not decide to get them up back on their feet. He may decide just to bring them on home. You're not going to decide for God, but don't let that stop you from asking God. And don't try to manipulate God. You ask God for what you want. Don't do that. And don't let nobody talk you into asking God for what they want. You ask God for what you want, but then you tell him to do it according to his will. All right? Yeah, but you got to ask him for what you want. See, if we play these games with God, he knows that ain't what you want. See, you ask for what you want, but he said, let me make the decision how I'm going to answer. And we continue to do this, but God was letting Satan know beforehand that which you messed up, I'm going to fix. I'm going to fix up what you messed up. So this is the foretelling. He says, I'm going to proclaim this thing before I even do it. See, there are some things in your life God have already proclaimed. You just don't know it. And he's going to do it. Genesis 3:15 contains the first proclamation of the incarnation. The word incarnation has the idea or the meaning in flesh. So when you heard that word incarnation, all it means in flesh, putting on flesh, a body. Okay, but we see it here. The incarnation was not an afterthought with God. It was foreknown and foreordained in God's plan and God's purpose. See, what he's talking about in Genesis to Satan, what he's going to do to him, and how we are going to be delivered through the seed of the woman, God says, I already had a plan before they sinned. Huh? I had a plan how I was going to make them new creatures before they sinned and became who they are in you, Satan. He had a plan. It's good to know sometimes when we go through things, God already got a plan. See, God can see things before they happen. A lot of times, we don't even see things after they happen. We still ain't got it. We still don't have it. Man, how many times you got to go through the same thing? Don't you have it by now? Uh-uh. No. You need to get it. But I'm so glad. God already knows. So he had a plan, and he proclaimed the plan. He didn't wait till we got over generation to get over in the New Testament and give you his plan. No. I'm going to get his plan and let the people know who started this chaos with Satan. I'm going to deal with Adam and Eve. I'm going to deal with the serpent, the real snake, but I'm also going to deal with the snake of snakes, the great serpent, or Satan. But with the real snake, I'm going to put him, I'm going to take his legs from him, and I'm going to put him on his belly. But the real serpent, Satan, I'm going to chop his head off. I got the lake of fire waiting on him. If he keep messing with you, you know, I just can't get together because Satan is just all over me. Well, go and tell him about himself. He always want to tell you about yourself. Tell him about himself. Don't make me go back there to Revelation and show you you. See, because you that bad. Shouldn't nobody chunk you, as the old folks say, or throw you in the lake of fire. Shouldn't be a lock on the lake of fire to keep you there. And then God do you like a yo-yo. He take you out to use you when he want to use you. Then put you back in there. Wow, that playing with him. You put him in for a time, but then the millennium and all this stuff got to take place. Then you go back in. You don't let nobody put you in and put you back. Hey! You're the baddest thing in town, Satan. And nobody got to use you like a yo-yo, put you in when he wanted you to take you out. And then put you, y'all scholars know what I'm talking about? Oh. Yeah, because I get you back because I need you to start some more mess. See, you're a good mess starter, Satan. Everything's going pretty good for this 1,000 years, but I need to use you again to start some mess. Oh, Lord. Wait a minute, Lord. When I look at it from that perspective, I got a new perspective. Oh, you need some mess to happen. He want around, so you let him out. Then he let him out for vacation. Huh? Then the Jones. Yeah, for a while. Because for that while, so he could do his thing. But after that hour was done. That's why I said like a yo-yo. You don't let nobody do you like. And see, that's the thing, because folk don't have the word of God. They think Satan is all of that and he's a bad character. Well, I want to know the person who's badder than him. Yes, he's bad. Yes, he does a lot of stuff. Yes, yes, yes. I agree with you. But you want to come in the neighborhood. Who's the baddest in the neighborhood? Now, I know you're bad. And if somebody comes and says, no, he ain't really bad, you ought to see the one who ruled this neighborhood. Come on, somebody. Huh? Now, you ain't seen bad till you meet the one who ruled this neighborhood. Huh? But I know it's Jesus. So that's why when I look, go back to Genesis 3:15, I see something, y'all. I see God said, the baddest of the bad, in this sense of the strongest, all powerful, that's Jesus. Nothing too hard for God. It's going to be God in flesh, not a man in flesh. It's going to be the Word in fleshment. Oh, my God, I hope you get this for Christmas. Oh, man. Anybody with me? See, because we have been persuaded he that's the baddest is working my last nerve, making me drink, making me stay on drugs, making me just do all this crazy mess. And you know, he can just speak and I'm doing it. I can't sleep at night because he just messing my head up with thoughts. Well, I want you to know, yes, he's bad, but he ain't the baddest. No, he won't let nobody do him like a yo-yo. If I'm going to fear somebody, I want to fear the person that can whoop the one I'm afraid of. See, a lot of times we give Satan too much credit and give his creator of Lucifer, the angel, oh, my God. And what God is doing in 3:15, he's telling you the baddest. He said, because Satan, he's going to take your head out. See, the head represents a death blow. The heel, that's nothing. See, if you put me on the cross, I'm going to get back up when I want to. Now I'm going to get back up. I'm going to go back up. And you see, when they come to the tomb, the stone ain't going to be there. I'm going to have that roll away fight from me. Not that I could get out, but you could look in. See, we can't just know all of this and not apply it. Oh, man. Let's follow this now. We see the beginning. We see the mess up through sin. And God got a plan here for salvation and all of this. But let's look at the fulfillment of that. So we go back over to John now and see what's going on. See, it's good to do this because for some, and some know it and some don't know it, that you can put it together. You got the scriptures and the principles running together that they can make sense. See, you go back here and see that there's a problem. All right? If you go back and see Adam and Eve sin, most people know that, but there's a problem. But then in 3:15, you begin to see the problem solved. You see the who, the seed of a woman. That's the virgin birth. Because the seed is of a man, Mike. But in this case, no. It's going to be of the woman. Because Joseph can't touch her before Jesus' birth. Now, he touched her after for the other children, but not for this child. Oh, my God. That's good over there. Are y'all still with me? Haven't lost nobody. Okay. Now, y'all can read Luke 1 on your own to get some things I may be talking about, but you can go back to Luke 1 and read some of that or whatever in the Gospels. But let's go over here. Okay. and what we're going to see here, the fulfillment of John 1:1-5, 14-16, verse 30, provides the basic information about the incarnation. John established the fact of Christ's pre-existence. Let's look at John 1:1-2. I guess you got it up there, huh? Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We see in the beginning, now this beginning is a long, long, long time before Genesis 1:1. Not talking about that beginning. We're talking about creation and that beginning. But we're talking about the beginning, and nobody knows when that was, of the sovereign. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You see, you following with me? Now watch this. He was in the beginning with God. Wow. In the beginning was the Word, the Lord God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Highlight the Word was God. Not a little G. The big G was God, and he was in the beginning with God. So it's just like we see in Genesis, let us make man. Us is plural. That's the Godhead. the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to put this together for us. So when we got questions, when people question things, you got a connection to go to do apologetics. No, that is defend the faith. All things were made through him. Christ was the agent. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let's go down to 14 says, and the Word became flesh. Who was the Word? Who was the Word that we just read in 1:1? Huh? Okay, now we go to 14. Is this the same Word? So we can say, and God, and am I safe there? Am I rightly handling it there? Okay. So could I say then in 14, and God became flesh? Could I do that? So incarnation means enfleshment. In other words, I get in the mics, I'm going to pull something off. Okay. I like to do a little illustration. Say, for instance, and this can't compare. God wanted to be something. Oh, no, I don't want you to hold it. Thank you, bro. You on the spot. I got me an armor bearer. Mark Rich, you ain't the only one got him. God decided, Danny, I want to be in the flesh. I mean, I want a body made of flesh. I want a body of humanity. I don't want the sin, so I ain't gonna let Joseph touch her. Because if Joseph tried to prepare me a body, it's gonna be messed up. Because everything came from Adam was messed up. Everything they had was messed up. And if I'm messed up, I can't save or free those who are messed up. So I ain't gonna start off being messed up. So it's gonna be the seed of a woman. The Holy Ghost gonna overshadow her. So now the Word saying, now I'm the Word. I was with God and I am God, but the Word was not in flesh. But what God needed to do, he needed a body. You see, the Word couldn't be nailed to Calvary's cross. No. The Word would have a beard to be plucked out. The Word couldn't have the skin beaten from his body with the cat of nine tails. The Word couldn't have none of that. But it was needed to have his heel bruise. He had to have all of that. You can't spit in the face of the Word. So he had to put himself in a position that these things, as Isaiah said, could happen to him, Big Mama. So he made himself through the Holy Ghost a body. He in fleshment now. He embodied. He putting it. You with me, Joan? All right. Now. I was the Word, the Logos of God. But I couldn't stay in that form to do what I had to do for Fifi. I had to change forms to be beaten, to be spat upon, to be talked about. What would the cat of nine tails? I had to become. I did it though. You talking about somebody, a bad man. That's why I stick with Jesus. See, a lot of people don't know all of this. They get the church and stuff. They don't get no info. So therefore, they do whatever they want to do, and they claim that it's all right. It ain't all right when you know the truth. No. When I know this, what I know, man, God gonna eat me up. Rich, you know too. Rich, don't play. You too late for you to play dumb. Too late, man. We got you on tape. We don't even use tape no more. I remember out there in the garage when we changed, I had stacks of tapes all the way from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I was trying to keep them. Who used the tapes? And I stuck them out there. They probably gone there because they go in there and clean that house out. But I there were memories, all them ceremonies. You got to see 30 years now. And Brother Man was up there recording them. And he bought me a couple of cases that you could put them in. They don't even use them no more. But I get excited about Jesus. Is that okay? Am I in the right place? Is it all right? Okay. Am I giving out some important info? Okay. And am I demonstrating it to make it simple? Okay. Because, see, we talking about Christmas time. And I say he's more than the baby in the manger. And so far what I've been talking about, that's more than the baby and daddy. That's the little bit I haven't talked about. I see why he said more. I didn't understand when he first gave that title. But now as he talked, as he demonstrated, a little more. You know, I got some spiritual people that see me, I guess, more than I even see myself. And it go all the way back. And as a brother was talking today, and I remember some other brothers that go home with the Lord, Brother Bernard and Brother Ashburn, the different ones and the things they said. And Bro Forbes, I can go back with a lot of the saints that I used to hang around, we used to talk. It's amazing. This thing, y'all, is real. The spiritual side of us is real. Okay, let me get back. Because I don't want to hold you up. Now, where was that in the Word? Can y'all carry me back? Okay, all right. That's what I like about the Word. And if y'all follow me, you can kick me back. Okay, yeah, I see it. And the Word became what? Y'all saw my illustration, right? Now, and once he became flesh, he dwelt among us. See, he dwelt among us because he was going to do something for us. Let's say this. He dwelt among us. Come on, let's say it together. He dwelt among us because he was going to do something for us. And he was going to go through something that he wouldn't know what we are going through, but without sin. Yeah. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God that he was full of grace and truth, because we didn't merit nothing. If you are saved, you are saved by the grace of God. You ain't got nothing to boast about unless you boast about the cross. You boast about Jesus. But you didn't earn yours, I didn't earn mine. But I'm so glad he forgave me for my sins. I'm so glad he cast them as far as the east is from the west. But there are some things, y'all, that God is going to do for you and me, or have done for us, but it's done on God's due time. See, even when he spoke about the seed of a woman in the garden, it will be many generations, many years before he actually show up. And it's called God's due time, in due time. See, a lot of times you guys are waiting on some things because your due time haven't came yet. But trust God, he has a due time. Oh, my God. Woo! You know, sometimes God will give you some things, y'all, I know I got to let you go. But I love y'all guys. And somebody told me God ain't through with me yet. So make me want to go. Steve, you back there? You heard me? You woke? Okay, Doc. That's my buddy. I'm just messing with him. Hey, put Galatians 4:4 on the board for me. See, because when I say things, I'm saying scripture, but that don't mean everybody knows. Some do know. Some pick right up on what you're talking about. But I'm not about the some. I'm about the all. And I want you to know that your pastor's giving you scripture. He's not just coming off the top of his head with a bunch of stuff. Huh? Is that all right? Okay. You got it? Well, you all right, Doc. Now, let's read that together. See, that's due time. See, when the fullness of the time had come. See, there are some things that we are going through and we are waiting on. It's just the fullness of that time haven't come. See, when the fullness of that time came, the Savior arrived. Well, I come on off. Are you going to get something better than this from? I don't get the saints. Anything better than the Word of God? Yeah, I guess it is, though. So I'm going to let y'all get back to what's better than him being in flesh. Okay. I'll move on. I'm just messing. Don't pay me no attention. Okay. Let's look at verse. Let's go back to John and look at verse 30. Excuse me. John 30 says, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel before I came baptizing with water. That John the Baptist is saying that Christ is more powerful. He is God, and we see that. And we see John established the fact of Christ's pre-existence, Christ's person, Christ's power, and Christ's presence. So we saw the foretelling, we saw the fulfillment, and all of that had a focus. All of what we seen, it had a focus on it. All right, the focus, the incarnate Christ, here's the focus, reveals the sovereign God, redeems the sinner, resides in the saint. What a Christmas present when heaven wrapped up, not in Christmas paper, but in flesh, the Word, God, Emmanuel, meaning what? God with us. Isn't it something, Brother Kaysen? God says, what I need to do for mankind, what I want to do for mankind, what I will do for mankind, I can't do that sitting in heaven. Can't do it. Can't do it. I got to go down. And I can't do it in the state that I am. The word or spirit. God is spirit. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. But I can't do it in that form. But I'm willing to take on the form of humanity. Man is the sin. When I take on the form of humanity, I got to eat. I got to sleep. I got to be raised by parents. I have to study. I get tired. I got to do all those things I'm not accustomed to, and I got to come down. Now I'm going back, but I got to come down, robe in flesh, in humility, to do what's necessary to bruise the head of Satan. To free mankind, my chief creation. I got to come down. I got to humble myself and take this form that's lower than I. But I'm willing to do that. Because I deem who I'm going to save or make new creatures that important to me. See, you and I, we are wrapped up how important we are to each other or somebody. And a lot of times, folk, they're all messed up because the one you love, they don't seem that you were that important to him or vice versa. Not knowing. The love of your life, Christian, should be Jesus. Now, notice I didn't just say that till I told you all he done. If you didn't know it after knowing it, he said, I can stay here in glory. I can stay here where everything is perfect. See, it was God in Christ reconciling the world back unto himself. I can't send an angel to do it. The angel can't do it. Can't send the elders to do it. They can't do it. I'm going to prepare myself about it. Holy Ghost, overshadow. Word, become flesh. And when you become flesh, 30-something years, stay there. You ain't gonna become flesh and then shoot back up. No. Let them see you. Let them talk to you. Go in the synagogue. See the condition. You already know it. But there's some limitations you put on yourself when you're in that position. But before Abraham, I am. There are some places folk are not willing to go to save you. There are some extensions. I go here, but I ain't going no further. You hard-headed, no good so-and-so. I'm not going to do it. I done it for the last time. You just ain't no good. But God says, I came for the no good folk. Do you know he came to die for the no good folk? See, people got this thing wrong. They got it wrong, and it messed up a lot of people, Danny. Well, you know what? I don't go to church because I ain't good enough. And I ain't like y'all holy. See, that's talking unbiblical. All have sinned and come short. He didn't come for no good. It was some good folk. He wouldn't have came. He wouldn't have came. Everybody bad. All-A-L-L. All be all, and that's all me. Everybody. Everybody bad, he say. See, I can't say no good folk because there ain't no good folk. And if it was good folk, I wouldn't, there was no need for me coming. He said, I saw what, see, I created Adam and Eve good. Sure did. Everything God did, it was good. But Satan came along and messed up that which was good, made it bad. And then he wanted them to replenish the earth. So that means all humanity got to come through those two people. But guess what? You come through those two people, but you also got their sin nature. Because you're coming through with the seed of Adam. But the sucking Adam. See, there are some things and some distance we're not willing to go to save some folk. Am I right about it? Come on, put your hand. Yeah, I'm right about it. I know I'm right. There's some distance. Now, I go so far, I ain't going to do that. But he did that for you and me. That's why I love him so much. And that's why even under pressure, even over time, I had the brother just to tell me about some of the pressures he watched me go through, some stuff I had probably forgotten, but he hadn't forgot it. So I was there the whole time. He began to name it, rally it off. He said, but you're still standing. He said, you're still standing. Why are you still standing? What's going on with you? Do you realize that God is keeping you? Kept you through this. Kept you through that. Kept you through that. Gave a running commentary. Yeah. Why are you still standing? You're on the other side of 30 years with this thing. What is that thing that you got? He saw me. He saw all of us. But I'm talking about me. He saw me undone. He saw me a sinner. He saw me lost. Some folks say, not too bad a guy, but you're looking through your eyes. But God is perfect. He's perfect in his holiness. So he see all as sinners. But so he came down when he robed himself in that godly flesh, that godly body for Rick's. He said, Rick, I'm coming from glory to save you, Rick. You don't care how many other people heard that, but I heard it. I heard it that he came for me. It was personal. Yes, he saved a whole bunch of us. But each one of us have a personal salvation. Your salvation is personal. I wasn't there when you got saved. Didn't know you. A lot of you when you got saved because it was personal. Now I get to know you. I get to fellowship with you. I get to be there with you in hard times, bad times, bereavement. I get just to be there because God saved you. And put us together that we come out to the house of God. Yeah. We're going to church today, baby. We're going to church today, Miss Vanessa. That's right. She still loves the church. I said, we're going to church today? Yeah, we're going to church today. I said, I'll get you pretty up as I can, and we're going out to church today. Now, God knows my struggles. God knows my fears, my hurt. And he said, go in your hurt. Go in your struggle and talk about me. Talk about how good I am, though you hurting. Talk about my deliverance, though you hurting. Talk about with nobody but you, I would have came. Talk about me, don't talk about you. Talk about my goodness. Can you still preach when I'm allowing your misery to go on? Can you still be faithful, though you're hurting? Though you feel I can't use you because you seem to be shackled. See, it ain't about what you think, it's about what God knows. Now let's look at the focus. Did I give you the focus? And I'm coming on off. I gave you that, didn't I? Yeah. The focus of his incarnation is to reveal the sovereign God, to redeem the sinner, to reside in the saints. Yeah. During this special season, Christmas season, let's take time to pause, to ponder, and proclaim the timely truth that the birth of the baby in Bethlehem was incredible, for he was Emmanuel. God with us, the incarnate Christ, the Messiah.